Now, the rest of the story. I can just hear the neighbors whispering. Bill had left town in a hurry, and he had abandoned his wife and three young children, and he had fled to the big city, hoping to lose himself. The rumors spread quickly. Local authorities were searching for Bill. The charges amounted to petty theft. But the county justice of the peace had it in for the handsome, hazel-eyed young man. Word had it that Bill was bound to be prosecuted to the hilt. He knew and his family agreed it was either prison or run, so Bill ran. And weeks passed. Soon there was another rumor that Bill had found employment tending horses at a theater. That would be, well, what a parking lot jockey's job today, tending horses at a theater. So much for Bill, home folks said. But they hadn't yet heard the rest of the story. It may be most difficult to prove oneself to one's neighbors. Even the Bible talks about the prophet being ignored in his hometown, and young Bill, on the other hand, was determined to be recognized. And he had a lot going for him, basically. He was good-looking and charming, had a resonant, attention-commanding voice, made a good impression, and he was enterprising, had a good business mind. So it should not surprise you to learn that in a few years, Bill had actually become part owner of that same theater where he had landed his first big-city job, a success story in itself. But it would take something really spectacular to set the home folks on their ears. So 10 years after he fled in fear, he returned in triumph, rejoined his family, purchased the second largest house in his hometown. It was a glorious residence on the corner of Chapel Street and Chapel Lane, a mansion with 10 fireplaces to warm it in winter. The neighbors called it the Great House, and its ownership was a lofty status symbol. Bill, once a timorous teenage fugitive, was now a gentleman of social standing and the wealthiest man for miles around. And that wasn't enough, for Bill knew the sort of success his neighbors understood, large-scale land ownership, so Bill set out to become a real estate tycoon. He began with the purchase of 107 acres of choice farmland. Tenants would continue to farm the property. Then Bill bought a cottage and a quarter-acre garden on the south side of Chapel Lane, right across from his home in town. Servants' quarters, perhaps, although Bill was by now more investment-conscious than convenience-conscious. And he continued to invest in real estate. Bill's hometown records brim with his real estate transactions. Now remember, this is the young man about whom the neighbors had once whispered. This is the young man who had been wanted for trespassing and for poaching, and who had skipped town initially as a teenager to avoid being put in jail. But he returned home to prove himself in terms that his home folks understood. Bill made good. Now, we have a little postscript to this story. That theater for which he was a part owner. You remember where he started out just tending the horses of the patrons of the place? And then he became a part owner of the theater. He also wrote some plays in his spare time. And that was a hobby which would be appreciated by future generations in his hometown, Stratford-on-Avon. That's right, Bill, the handsome, hazel-eyed real estate tycoon, was William Shakespeare. And now you know the rest of the story.